honor due to the mitzvah. And the rabbis already told us from the verse when the Jews crossed the sea and they sang Az Yashim Moshe, and they said the famous words, Ze Keli Ve'anveh, this is my God and I will beautify him. So the rabbis asked, how do you beautify God? And the answer is, you do beautiful mitzvot. You do beautiful mitzvot. You can't beautify God. You can beautify the way you serve God. How? By doing beautiful mitzvot. So for example, a person should buy beautiful tzitzit, beautiful tefillin, nice Sefer Torah, beautiful lulav. And the rabbis even gave a quantity. They said, when you do a beautiful mitzvah, you can pay, you have to pay up to a third more on the price. A third more on the price. And if you want to give more, you give more on God's account. In other words, on your account, you got to give a third more. On God's account, you can give as much as you want. There's no limit. Why? Because the rabbi said it's not enough to do a mitzvah. You have to do a beautiful mitzvah. You have to honor God by doing a good mitzvah. And we're going to learn this from very few places. We talked about Cain and Abel. We're going to talk about it again. Now we have to know that for God there's no honor. God doesn't care about honor. God is no, he doesn't need our honor. We don't, you know. God is above that. Hashem doesn't need our honor. Hashem doesn't need us to honor him. And he doesn't care. However, for us it's very, very important. For us it's very, very important. And even though God doesn't need the honor, he's called El HaKavod. He's called the God of honor. And we are obligated to honor him, even though he doesn't need it. And whoever doesn't honor God is called a sinner. Right, so honoring God is very, very critical. And that's what the prophet Malachi, it's interesting, we just learned this in the laws of Kiddush. We learned it just a few minutes ago. It's interesting. And this pasuk came up. Same pasuk came up. And the idea of Kiddush was, if your wine was left open all night. What's the problem with wine leaf left open all night?
The poisonous
snakes might come and drink from it and leave poison in the cup. So in those days they were very, very careful not to drink anything which was left open at night. However, today the Shulchan Aruch says no problem.
Really?
Yeah.
Because a lot of post-team, like Rav Chaim Kanevich,
I'm talking about Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says no problem today. However, in this case, in the case of using the wine for Kiddush, he says no. Why? Because it's not honor for God. And the verse he uses is a pasuk over here, which he brings down. Which is a pasuk in Malachi Aleph.
What about Kos Shel Eliyahu for Pesach?
No problem. Cover it.
Cover it, but it could stay out all night, just yeah. It has to be covered.
Cover it.
Okay. Huh? Can it be used as a Kos Shel Eliyahu for 2 Sedarim? Same cup of wine with the same grape juice in it from the night before.
I don't know if Eliyahu Navi is makpid on that. It depends what you're going to do with it. What are you going to do? Are you going to use it for Kiddush the next day if you didn't drink it?
No, not use it. I'm saying Kos Shel Eliyahu.
Well, I'm saying, what do you do with it afterwards? What do you do with your Kos Shel Eliyahu? Drink it?
Pour
it. No. Why waste it? Bal tashchit.
But you leave it from the one night to the next night?
So you cover it. That's what I'm saying. Don't leave it open. Cover
and then it can be used as Kos Shel Eliyahu for the second.
Yeah, and then you can use it for your Kiddush on Shabbat, whatever. Don't waste it. If Eliyahu Navi came, he'd get very upset. He'd throw away his cup. Oh, yeah. Just joking. Yeah. So in other words, it's a waste. It's a waste to throw away wine. Nothing happens to it. It's just covered. That's it. No problem. But over here we're talking about where the wine was left uncovered. And there, the Shulchan Aruch says, you wouldn't give it to a prince. Why do you give it to God? In other words, why do you use this wine for Kiddush? If a prince came to your house, you wouldn't give it to the prince. Right? So why would you give it to God? And that's a very important idea, the idea that if you wouldn't give it to a very important person, why would you give it to someone, to Hashem? So a person who gives things which are not honorable to God is considered a sinner. And that's a pasuk in Malachi. Bechitik Yeshun Evel is Boach. Would you give a blind man to slaughter? Would you give it to a prince? Would you give this to a prince? Would he want it? Would he be happy with it? So why would you give it to God? Right? If you wouldn't give it to a prince, why would you give it to God? That's the pasuk over here, very famous pasuk. Hakriveu na lepechatecha. Would you give it to a prince? However, the rabbis were careful, and they warned us to do the opposite when it came to service of God. Do things in a very honorable way. If you wouldn't do it for a regular person, would you do it for a higher authority? How would you do it for God? Don't you care? It's not kavod. Whatever is not kavod, a person should only give God the most desirable. Don't give God something which is less desirable. This is very hard because, you know, we thought, what does God really care about? You know, does he really care whether the wine was uncovered, the wine was covered? What do you care? Really, what does he care? A lot of people think the same thing. What does he care? So that's a big problem. So it's an attitude problem. It's an attitude issue. And the answer is, we have to give God always the best. Always give God the best. And we find this concept with Cain and Hevel, with Cain and Abel. Hevel brought from his flocks, it says, Mibchorot Zono. So Bechor, you can say, is the firstborn sheep. Mechel Ben and the fats. Cain brought Minapsolit, from the garbage. Mipri Adama, the worst fruits he had from the ground, that's what he brought. All right, so Cain had this attitude, yeah, what does God really care? I'm just doing it because I want to do it, not because obviously God doesn't need it. So why should I give him the best? Ma'al Abraham, what happened to them? Hashem accepted the offering of Hevel, and Cain and his offering didn't care. So really, it's a lot to do with this is very hard, our attitude. We have to have a good attitude when we do mitzvot. It's very, very important to have a good attitude when doing mitzvot. Alright, so a person has to do things with a good heart. You're giving, give the best. It's very hard. It's very hard to do this. Because naturally, we're pretty mean. A person, you know, wants to look after his money, he's tight. I don't blame him. Listen, people are tight, they work hard. When it comes to God, though, God can give you much more. It's very hard to think that way. You give, you get. You give, you get. You give, you get. You give, you give a lot. You get a lot back. If you don't give, you don't get. Very simple. It's very hard. Plus, you get used to giving. It's very hard. It's very, very hard. And not only that, but the more you have, the harder it gets. That's the chidush over here. The more you have, the harder. Why? Because you got to give 10%. And 10% of, okay, $100 is $10. Okay, not so bad. $1,000, $100. $1,000, $100. When it comes to millions of dollars, 10% is millions of dollars. I got to get $1 million. That's a big check. That's a lot of money. So that's when it gets harder. It's interesting. You should think it gets easier, right? The more you have, the thing is, it's easier to give. No! It gets harder to give. Because they become bigger amounts.
Yeah, but it's all relative, though.
It's everything's relative. I'm just saying.
If you have $1 billion, you could afford to give $10 million to Tzedakah.
It looks like it, right? But to write a check for $10 million? Have you written a check for $10
million? I've never seen a check for
$10 million. Exactly. You know what it's like to write a check for $10 million? Write a check for $1 million? 10 times? Easier, but it's harder. So it takes a lot of. It's very hard to honor God properly. It's very, very hard to honor God properly. And a person's got to have the right intentions as well. Hashem also cares about intentions. Right? So this is a very hard thing to measure, even inside one's own head. It's very hard to really. Am I honoring God by doing this? Would I do this for an honorable person? My mother came, my father came, would I do the same with? How would I treat if Obama was coming to my house? Let's not answer that question. Let's not go there. Ted Cruz was coming to my house. How would I treat him? No. So that's the question. We have to say, if a very important person was coming to my kiddush table, would he be happy what he saw? Would I go out of my way to do more? If I would go out and make my way to do more, I should do more now. That's the question. The question today, we have no concept of honorable people, I think, important. Just lost that. That's the trouble.
But But one time they did. Because that way, if you're not honoring Hashem, at least you could say, well,
same
level. I'm not honoring you or anyone else.
Exactly, same level. Yeah, today it's good. But say we lost concept of honoring people, how to honor people. An important person comes to your house, you probably may change even the carpets. May do up the house, may put some wallpaper, I don't know. I'm just thinking, in those days people were very careful. People honor people. So same thing, why not do that with God? It's Kiddush time, it's Shabbat, the best. The best goes to God. And some people, you see the women, how they slog. I know my wife, I tell you, she's amazing. How she slogs, she doesn't have to. So take it easy. No, Shabbat. You gotta work hard, you gotta prepare, you gotta slug. Pesach, forget it. Let's go to a hotel. No, we're talking hotel. This is the fun part. Fun part? Doesn't look fun to me. But that's the way you serve God. The Arizal says, all the trouble you take to search for Hametz, the sweat atones for sins. All that sweat atones for sins. It's when you do a mitzvah with sweat. That's where really the atonement is. That's where a person gets kapara, and he gets credit on the sweat. The person's walking to shul on a hot day. Sweating and it's perspiring and it's walking far away, right? Like Peretz and Adina, you get credit, you get extra credit because it's hot and you're walking, or it's cold.
So the Hasidim,
same thing. Oh boy, I don't know if they do it deliberately. I don't know. It's extra. Wear a strimal on a hot day, I don't know. There's no mitzvah to wear a strimal on a hot day, I don't think. Anyways, don't ask me that question. So a person's got to give the best of their vows. A person should always give from the best. And we see we kind of never. Alright, so Hashem did not listen to Cain at all. And you know, Cain killed Hevel because of that. It led to a lot of destruction. Because he didn't give the best. He wouldn't give the best. The rabbis say, "Kol ha'ochez b'sefer Torah arum, nikbar arum." A person who touches the Sefer Torah directly with his hands will be buried naked. So the Gemara says, "What are you talking about? How can it be?" Gemara Megillah is the end of Megillah. He doesn't bring it over here. So the Gemara answers, "Naked from that mitzvah, not naked completely. He's not going to be buried naked. Naked from the mitzvah of reading the Torah. Then, because he touched it, he lost the mitzvah of reading it." What a mitzvah he was doing, and he touched the Sefer Torah. He lost that mitzvah.
Wait, I don't follow.
The Gemara says a person touches the Sefer Torah naked, which means there's nothing between his hands and the cloth,
okay.
The parchment.
That's what we have.
Will be buried naked.
Right, but what the meaning is?
So the Gemara says, what do you mean buried naked? You've been buried naked of that mitzvah, which means he'll lose the mitzvah he did just now. So like, say he's a Baal Koreh. He read the Torah and he touched it. He lost the mitzvah of Baal Koreh. He got an aliyah and he touched the Torah. He lost the mitzvah of that aliyah. That's what it means. So that's why we have a cloth. It's funny, we have a cloth. You don't touch it directly. The only difference is when the Benish Chai says a very big Kiddush. He says when you're not reading it, there's no holiness, and you can turn it with your hands are clean.
Oh,
Benish Chai.
Well, that's Sephardi Torah scrolls that are necessary.
Yeah.
Ashkenazi, probably not, right?
I don't know. But if you're not reading it, there's no Kiddusha there. But when you're reading it, there's much more Kiddusha, and then you're allowed to touch it with your bare hands. That's the case.
Wait, so the Torah scroll.
Yes.
A Sefer Torah is not intrinsically holy.
It is holy. It is holy. I'm saying that when is there more holiness, you're not touching with your bare hands, is
when it's being used.
That's what the Ben Ish Chai says, a big leniency of the Ben Ish Chai. Very unusual. Wow. Very unusual leniency of the Ben Ish Chai. Normally he's very, very strict. But over here he's lenient. He says, listen, you can touch with your bare hands as long as they're clean, as long as it's not the time for reading. Once the time for reading in public, there's much more. Here, Arot coming from that Torah. You can't touch it.
Excuse me, Rabbi.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Even though the Ramah is very, very strict, the Ramah says, maybe I shouldn't tell you, not to know.
No,
it's better to touch it with a siddur. That's the best way. Avoids problems.
This is referring to
about the cover, about the clothes.
Yeah, okay, doesn't matter. It's better to touch it with a siddur. That's why no problems. Yeah, double. That's it. Just kiss it with a siddur. That's it, huh? A woman. Other issues. Other issues. Yeah, so let's not go there, but I'm just saying the Ramah is very strict. He says a woman who has a period shouldn't come to shul.
In 16th century Poland,
shouldn't even look at the Torah.
Wow.
Whoa, for one.
Today we don't. Sfardi, we no problem. Sfardi, no problem. Sfardi, the custom was always touching. No problem. Sfardi, no problem.
That's stricter than the Benny.
It's stricter than anything. Ramah is strict over there when it comes to it. It just wasn't done in those days. A lot of people wouldn't do that. Plus, the women were up in the gallery. They weren't. You know, there were no shuls with the. They wouldn't touch the Torah. They wouldn't be near the Torah. They'd be up on top. You never seen the Hasidic shuls. There's just a hole in the roof. You don't see the women. They don't see anything. Can't see anything.
The old Neue Schule in Prague, it's like there are little slats peering through. It's like a prison.
Really? That's because there wasn't, like, if we get that there wasn't any room section at all. Like,
no, there was. Balcony. There was a balcony. Usually the balcony. The old schools had balconies.
Yeah. That was all new.
Well, new. It's all relative. 2,000 years is new, but they had balconies. The last 1,500 years.
Ezra
Nashim. Okay. Said halat bikurim. Look at how they brought the bikurim. The bikurim are the first fruits, right? In Israel, you have fruits. What fruits are we talking about? The seven species. The five species: olives, dates, grapes, figs, pomegranates. They grow in Israel. Only Israel is praised for these fruits. A person has a farm, and these fruits are growing on the tree orchard. He ties a ribbon. Maybe that's where it came from. He ties a ribbon around the first fruit, and then when it gets ripe, plucks it, takes it to Beit HaMikdash, Bikurim. How does he bring it? So he says they would have a major procession, beautiful procession. There'd be an ox going in front, and they would gold plate its horns, just to look good. Horns, gold, can you imagine gold plated horns? But Tel Shazai Barashur would have, wear an olive, like a wreath, like a Caesar. The ox would have an olive wreath around his head. And the rich people would bring their Bikurim in baskets of gold. And the poor people bring their bikurim in baskets of wickerwork. The difference is that the gold baskets, they took away from the kohanim. They gave the kohanim the bikurim and said, I need that basket back. And the poor people gave the basket to the kohen. So it was... It should be the opposite, right? So the poor people got more benefit because they actually gave their baskets to the kohen, whereas the rich people said, hey, that gold basket, hey, give it back. It's mine, give it back. Tosef Bikurim. So what else do you need? Tosef Bikurim. Give more. Don't just give one fruit. Give extra fruits. You're giving Bikurim. Be happy. Give God extra. Don't just give one hairy fruit. Here's the first pomegranate. Here. In a whole basket, one pomegranate. No. Bring a whole bunch. Fill it up. Fill up the basket. So you see from there how much a person should add to the mitzvah. So it's like same thing praying. A person comes late and leaves early. What happened to you? You're doing the mitzvah. You got to come early and leave late, not come late and leave early. You just, what kind of mitzvah is that? You're showing God you don't care. You want to run away from him. How a parent feels like that? Can you imagine the child comes from far away? It happened to me. I know it's not a good feeling. A child comes from far away, and they came for a day, and they came late, and they left early. Is that nice? Not the best. So it's very hard. So the thing, same thing. God is our Father. He wants to see us. And we slackers. We slack. It's hard. It's hard. It's very hard. We have to think like that. That's just, it's a frame of thought. It's the way we're thinking. Some people program themselves to come late. They know, you know. They time themselves. Okay, Shabbat, 8:45, it's too early. I'll come 9:30, the guy says. Or he says, I'll come 9:45. And the other guy says, no, I'll come at 10 o'clock. Everyone has their system. I don't know what the system is. I'm trying to crack the code myself. If I knew how to crack the code, boy, yeah, we'd be full. We'd be packed over here. Everyone has their excuses and their foibles and the this. But they don't think. Their father's waiting for them. Daddy's waiting for them. Avinu Shebashamayim. Our father in heaven. He's waiting for us. Don't keep daddy waiting. It's not kavod. Would you keep your father waiting? He's waiting for you. It's 8:45, he's waiting for you. And the guy rolls in at 10. And daddy says, where you been, son? I've been waiting for you for 3/4 hour. Oh, dad, I was late. Okay, maybe a real father would say, okay, you're late. You gotta look after the kids. You gotta look at, okay. People have excuses. Some excuses are good. Some excuses are not so good. It's a very hard question. How do we act towards Hashem? How do we relate to Hashem? How do we do mitzvah? It's very hard. Just saying brachot, it's the heart, I'm telling you. I'm trying to focus, but it's very hard. To say a bracha properly is one of the hardest things in the world. Because the Yetzirah will not let you. The Yetzirah will say, hey, you got 50 things to do. Get moving. Don't take 10 minutes saying a bracha. It's so hard to say a bracha properly. It's easy and it's hard at the same time. It's amazing. So a person really cares about, it's very hard. Come out of the bathroom. If a person thinks, did I say it or not? It means he didn't say it properly. The person has to think twice, did I say it or not? It means you didn't really pay attention. Because if you really pay attention, you know whether you said it or not. It's very hard, especially when you get older. And you really have problems thinking, did I do it? But these are things which are easy and hard at the same time. Why? What does it take? Another minute to say a bracha properly? Sit down. Stand. But don't walk. Don't carry. Don't move. Stay in one place. I'm talking to myself. It's the hard, one of the hardest things I find. You're saying it, say it properly. You're saying Allah Mechia, say it properly. Saying Abrikar Mazon, Abrikar Mazon is very long. It's very hard not to lose the mind goes It's very hard not to focus. It's very hard to focus. Very hard to focus. The Yetzer is terrible. So these are things which are very easy, very hard to do. Rabbi would dress up properly to pray. Prophet Amos says in chapter 4, prepare yourselves to meet your God Israel. Dress properly to meet your God. Who would dress properly to say the Father? Who would dress properly to see his Father?
Esav.
Esav. The rabbi said, Bigdei Esav bena hagadol hachamudot. The rabbi said that Esav didn't trust his wives. He made his beautiful coat, which the rabbi said he got from
Nimrod.
Who got it from? Adam Rishon. I don't know. Coat, what kind of coat it was. But Esav had this coat. Esav killed Nimrod. That's what Midrash says. He killed Nimrod and took his coat. He's a nice guy, Esav. You don't want to meet him in a dark alley. But you know what he did? He used it to see his father. It was a special coat. He only wore it to see his father. That coat was so special. So it says that no one else did the mitzvah of Kibud Avim like Esav. Right, Rabbi Shmuel's mother. What happened to Rabbi Shmuel's mother? She was sick. Rabbi Shmuel put his hands under her feet. She lost her shoe. Her shoe broke. He put his hands under her feet for her to walk on his hands. And then he got sick. And the rabbis went to visit him. And she said, pray for my son. He's such a tzaddik. He said, what did he do? He said, he put his hands under my feet. He said, even did 10,000 times more. He would never reach the level of Esav. Esav honored his father like we can't even imagine. He wanted to kill his brother so badly. You can't imagine what kind of desire to kill his brother. I'll wait for my father to die before I kill him. That's how much he respected his father.
But doesn't the Midrash say that he conspired with Ishmael to assassinate Yitzhak so that therefore he could
kill him? He couldn't kill Yitzhak. He didn't touch his father.
No, but so he asked Ishmael.
I don't know. Maybe. But that's not what Gemara says. Gemara says he honored his father like no one else. Amazing. And you see, he wore special clothes to his father. He would wear his beautiful garment, his beautiful coat to wear to see his father. So we also have a responsibility to dress nicely to pray. It's very hard. Sometimes you forget to pray Arvit. And a guy comes home and he's dressed, changes his pajamas. Now, what are you going to do? Gonna dress up again and pray. Yes. Even though you're allowed to pray to God in your pajamas. Because you have a separate between your top and your bottom. And you're fully covered. So wear socks to pray. No. I can't pray to God in my pajamas. Would you go to see a prince in your pajamas? Don't ask the question. How can you pray before God? So that's the answer. Same thing. It's not kavod. Even though it's allowed, it's halakha, it's allowed. Certain things you can do which are not kavod. They're not kavod. So don't do it. So you see how Esav would wear fancy clothes to meet his father. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, I served my father with dirty clothes. But when I would go outside the house, I would wear nice clothes. He's rebuking himself. In the house, okay, I'm in the house. Oh, where am I? Aval Esav. When he served his father, he would serve him with king's clothes. He wear clothes fit for the king. Wow, that's Esav. If we do so much for flesh and blood, how much more so for the King of Kings? A person stands before the King of Kings to pray. I wish we could imagine this. We have to imagine it. And one of the ways of imagining it is by dressing nicely to, where are you going? I'm going to the King of Kings. Wow, that is, a person's got to think about that all the time. It's fitting to wear nice clothes in front of the King of Kings. And sit there like in front of a king, not sit there with your legs up high and, you know, people fold their legs and sit like they don't know where they're sitting. Sitting in front of the guard. Civil respect is like in a courtroom, right? If the judge sees you sitting in a certain way, he'll throw you out. Right? Someone's going to wear certain clothes. You don't go, you got to dress with kavod. Person's going to dress with kavod, act with kavod in front of God. Yes, now we come to Kavod Shabbat and festivals. Whoever honors Shabbat and the festivals definitely gives pleasure to God. Why? Because God created the world in 6 days and the seventh day rested. And every time you keep Shabbat, you're giving testimony that God created the world in 6 days. It's direct testimony. Can you imagine the most powerful testimony possible? It's whoever keeps Shabbat is Ben Olam Haba. All his sins are forgiven. Psh! That's great. A person's got to think about that when they keep Shabbat. Hashem, forgive me for my sins. I'm keeping Shabbat. Shabbat has got the same root as the word Teshuvah. Shabbat. V'shavta'at Hashem alakecha. You will return to Hashem. Shabbat. A person's got to know that it's so powerful. Bereshit.
Yerashabbat.
Yerashabbat. Fear all of Shabbat. Bereshit. All of Shabbat. The Tikkuni HaZohar has 1,001 variations on Bereshit. I don't have 1,001.
I thought it was 70 or 70.
Yeah, whatever. 70, but the explanations. The different explanations. Tikkuni HaZohar, amazing. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So including in honor to God is honor of his holy days. So there's two reasons. Number one is God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. The second reason is because God took us out of Mitzrayim. We were slaves to Paro and now we're free. How do we show our freedom? By resting. A slave cannot rest. A slave doesn't have a day off. We show our freedom by resting and not going to work. That's how we show freedom. It's amazing. If you go to work when you're free, you're not free. You're a slave to your work. By not working, that's when we show free. Okay, Tzivan. And this is what Prophet Isaiah says, V'chibbarato, you will honor him. When you keep Shabbat, you have to honor him. Honor the mitzvah of Shabbat. And there's different types of honor. But the general rule is, whatever is more honorable, we have to do it for Shabbat. And therefore, the early rabbis would all prepare Shabbat. They would all be busy with Shabbat. They would all do something for Shabbat. The person's going to do something for Shabbat. So whether it's vacuuming the house, sweeping the house, setting the table, it's very good. Everyone should take part. Everyone should take part in something for Shabbat. Rabbi Abahu, can you imagine the great Rabbi Abahu? Hava yativ adkasta, adkatka, vishdeshina, minashev nura, he would light the fire. Rav Safra machrik resha. Rav Safra, and what did he do? He would cut off the tops. What was he do, Rav Safra? He would singe it, right? In order to get rid of the hair. Rava Malak Shibuta, he would salt the fish, a big fish called a Shibuta. Rav Huna Madlik Shargar, Rav Huna would light the candles. Rav Papa Gadil Patilta, he would make the patil, the wick of the candle. Rav Chasta Parisilka, he would prepare the spinach, right? What? Beets. Silka, well, silka is also spinach. Rava Rav Yosef and Salche Sebe. Okay, each one did something. Rav Nachman would carry things around. And what would they compare it to? If their rabbis would come, wouldn't they do this for them? If Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi would be coming, their rabbis, how much they would work for them and prepare the house for them, so they can do the same thing for Shabbat. That's a comparison. If you would do it for someone honorable, you should do the same thing for Shabbat. Okay. So if someone important would come to your house, how would you greet them? So too we have to greet Shabbat. Today we're doing more for Shabbat than I do for honorable people. I don't know. There's no honorable people today. What is that? A person should be naked with fear. What does that mean? It's got to be pure fear, pure, 100% pure, awe of Hashem. To learn things from other things, and to be mechadesh, new things, to make give God pleasure in every way possible that he can think of. Because we know how great God is. And therefore we should have give him tremendous honor. We have to give God tremendous honor. So with all our lowliness, we need to give God honor. With all our strength, to honor him. And that is true awe of Hashem. That's interesting. Normally, we would equate honor with awe. The answer is because if you know, realize who God is, then you'd obviously give him more honor. So the awe of God enables you to give him more honor. If you don't have awe of Hashem, you won't honor him so much. The more awe we have, the more honor you'll give him. Because the greater he is in your eyes, the more you have to do for him. That's interesting. Now we'll go back to Shabbat. The rabbi said, Rav again lavish gunda. He would wear clothes for Shabbat, very Shabbat. In other words, on Friday he'd wear black clothes. And this way, when he wore his nice clothes, people would say, wow, look at that. He'd wear worse clothes on Friday to show the comparison to the good clothes he's got to wear on Shabbat. That's why today, Friday is dress down day. Casual Friday. So a lot of companies, they put casual Friday. They don't know why they're doing it. But it's good for the Jews. Why? Because when the Jews dress up on Shabbat, it looks special. It's got to look special. So this way, his beautiful clothes on Shabbat would look even nicer. What do we see over here? You don't wear black clothes on Shabbat. Arizal says, a person who wears black clothes on Shabbat will have to give din.
I guess we'll all have to give din, huh?
You don't wear black clothes.
Suits.
Dark blue.
What happened?
Not to wear black on Shabbat. Arizal says, not to wear black on Shabbat. It's the way a person should wear at least 4 white garments.
4.
So a person wears socks, undershirts, whatever. White garments. 4 white garments.
Does tzitzit count as a garment?
Yeah, sure. Rabbi Tzion Abashol says, black doesn't mean black. Black means dirty or not so nice. But if they're black and they're shiny and they're clean, no problem. But that's a chiddush. That's his own chiddush. Really, the Arizal doesn't say that. Arizal says not to wear black. And the Mekubalim in Israel have special white suits. It's beautiful to see them. White hats, see the white hats, white suit. It's really nice. It's nice seeing him walking down the street. It's very white suits, white hat, beautiful.
Yeah. Good for men. What about the women?
Something light, not dark, not black, not black,
black.
Not black, black, blue, dark blue, whatever, not black. So. The honor is not just what you do positively on Shabbat, it's also what you do negatively on Friday to show it's not Shabbat. Hear that? So you can honor Shabbat on a Friday by not wearing nice clothes. Hear that? So the distinction will be much greater on Shabbat. So on Friday the guy's wearing jeans. Why? It's not Shabbat. On Shabbat he'll wear a suit to show, hey, now I'm wearing nice clothes for Shabbat. So not eating such good food on a weekday is good. Why? Because then you're showing difference between weekday and Shabbat. That's why a person should have separate cutlery, separate plates, ideally. If you can afford it. So it's not the same honor you're giving, not the same honor. It's not the same honor as Shabbat. And that's why the rabbi said, don't fix a meal on Erev Shabbat. Right? You shouldn't have a big meal Erev Shabbat. It's not honor for Shabbat. No weddings on Erev Shabbat. Not honor for Shabbat. So you go into Shabbat when you're really stuffed. No, not honor. It's not honor for Shabbat. Similarly, a person should have kavod for the Torah. A lot of people today have kavod for the Torah. They kiss the Torah. They stand up for the Torah. This Friday we put bells on the Torah. Just like the Kohen Gadol would have bells on his clothes. So when he walked by, people would stand up and give him honor. So to the Torah we put bells. So that when we hear the bells, we know the Torah is coming. Stand up quickly. But give honor to the Torah and also give honor to those who learn the Torah. That's the hard part. And the guys at the kollel, what are they doing? They're just sitting over there. We have to pay money to learn. It's bother. And people don't think it's. You have to give honor to people who learn Torah. It's hard. And whoever honors Torah, the Pirkei Avot says, whoever honors Torah, people will honor him. It's a quid pro quo. You honor the Torah, Hashem says, people will honor you because you honored me. People honor you. It's midah k'nei midah. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Why did Ahab, this is a very strange question, why did Ahab was worthy for 22 years as being king? Ahab was an evil king. And his wife was worse, Jezebel, Isabel. And he was king for 22 years. The Gemara asked the Sanhedrin, how come he was king? So one of the opinions in Sanhedrin says he never got Olam Haba. He wasn't worthy of Olam Haba. Idolater, he made the Jews sin. That's one opinion. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, why did he worthy for 22 years to be king? Because he honored the Torah that was given with 22 letters. And the question is why? What do you do to honor the Torah? And because Ben-Hadad, who was the king of Syria, was threatening him and said, give me everything that you find precious. So he said, what did he have find precious? Sefer Torah find precious. That was the most precious thing in his eyes.
And yet he trampled on it like no one else.
Yeah, that's the irony. But he honored the Torah itself, the scroll, he honored the Sefer Torah. So even though he didn't keep what's in it, the fact is he honored the Torah. Okay, so then the Gemara says in Brachot, Halachot, when you're going from place to place, don't put the Torah, and you have a Sefer Torah, don't put the Sefer Torah in a sack, and put it on the donkey and sit on it. Oh boy, Bar Minan, sit on the Torah, imagine, put it in a sack and sit on it. Ela manicho becheko, this is very hard when you're traveling with the Sefer Torah. You gotta take it and hold it. Unless it's double wrapped, put it in double wrapping, and it's very hard to carry the Sefer Torah anyway. Furthermore, they forbid l'shev ala mitam. If you have a Sefer Torah on a bed, you can't sit on that bed. You know, you shouldn't sit on the same level as Sefer Torah. And today we do the same things with books. Like today we have benches in the shul. Don't put a siddur on the same bench as you're sitting on the bench. It's not kavod to be on the same level as you. Furthermore, you don't throw holy books, or even letters, even words. So say, hey, can you pass me the Rambam? Here, Rabbi. Not allowed to throw it. Not allowed to toss the Siddurim around. No kavod. You're not allowed to put the books go in order, right? The Torah is the highest, the five books of Moshe. Then comes the Nevi'im, and then comes the Ketuvim, then comes the Prophets, and then comes the Chronicles. You can't put the Chronicles on top of the book, on top of the Torah. You can't put the Chronicles on top of the Nevi'im. Everything's got to be in order. So the Chumash comes first. You got to make sure the Chumash is on top of the Siddur. Not the Siddur on top of the Chumash. How much more so should put glasses on the Siddur or the glasses on the Chumash? For some people. Should put a pen on top of the Siddur and put a pen on top of the Chumash. How much more so should lean on the book? So these are small things that are really big things, because if you're thinking about it, it's giving honor to God. God gave this. It's much more honorable. Whatever's closer to God is more honorable. So the Sefer Torah is given by God. Much more honorable. The Nevi'im came through prophecy. More honorable. The Ketuvim came through Ruach HaKodesh. Less honorable. So there's many different things we can do. Small things. We do to honor God. That's amazing. So people don't think about it. It's halakha. Well, what's halakha for? What's the bottom line? The halakha. What's it trying to get us to do? And the answer is trying to get us to give God honor. So small things. Regarding people who learn Torah. The Torah says, give honor to stand up for an old person. And you give honor to the face of a zaken. And the rabbi says, zaken, it doesn't mean old. Zaken means ze shekana, a person who acquired learning. Give honor to those who acquire learning. Furthermore, it says in Tehillim, "Vet yireh Hashem yichaped." Those who fear God, you should give honor to. Who is that? Yehoshaphat Melech Judah, Yehoshaphat the son of the king of Judah. Shekim shayar roeh tamid hacham. When he saw tamid hacham, haya omed mikiso, he would get up from his throne. Can you imagine? The king of Judah would get up from his throne. Chabko, he would kiss the rabbi and hug him. Vomelo, Rabbi, Rabbi, Mori, Mori, my rabbi, my rabbi, my master, my master. Elisha said about Eliyahu.
He used more profound words than that.
No, he said, what did he say?
Rechav Yisrael.
Rechav Yisrael, yeah. Avi, Avi, he said. He didn't say Rabbi Mori, it's interesting. He said, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael. My father, he called it. Rabbi Zera, kshaya halush milibudo. Rabbi Zera, when he was weak from learning, he learnt a lot. He would just get tired. He would sit outside the Beit HaMidrash. And when the rabbis would walk by, he would stand up for them. He would get up a little bit for them. Why? Just do the mitzvah of... Imagine, he himself was a rabbi. But he was tired. I can't learn anymore. My brain is hurting me. What I do? Sit outside the Beit HaMidrash and people walk by, I stand up for them. Wow, look at that. Isn't that amazing? Who would think of such a thing? I want extra mitzvah today. I don't feel so great. I don't feel like my brain works. So what I do, I just stand up for people. Pass by. Old people pass by, stand up for them. The rabbi passed by, well, stand up. That's amazing. Person gets so much credit. And the best thing today, you sit in a shtiblach. And a shtiblach is? A minion factory. A minion factory. In Israel, you have these minion factories. You have them in Brooklyn as well. And you can keep on saying, Amen, Yehesha, Amen, Rabbi. You know how many times a day you can say, Amen, amazing. You can make Gan Eden every 2 seconds. Boom, 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 boom. Amen. All the time you say, Amen, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shmo. One over here, one over there, one over there. Pfft. Imagine the guy's nothing better to his time. How many mitzvot he gets every day? Wow. You have people like that. You see retirees in Israel. And they just sit in the shtiblach and they learn Torah. In the meantime, they're answering Kedusha, they're answering Kaddish. Pfft. Isn't that great? People don't realize it. It's a jackpot. You're on the jackpot. All day long. He goes to Shemayim, he sees trillions of angels. These are all the amens you... People don't realize. Every amen creates an angel. Every Baruch Hu. So it's amazing what we can do with our time. Instead of wasting our time. This is real productive work. Go and sit there in the Beit Midrash. In the Shtiblach over there.
Not that I'm trying to look at it negatively, but just out of curiosity, though. If you're learning Torah, and you focus, like, you have to respond to Amen, Baruch Hu, etc.
You're right.
Then is that like...
Depends how much you can learn. It depends on a person's brain. If it's taking away from your learning, obviously not. But if it's not taking away... These guys are old. You know, the head. How much can they learn? So they're getting credit by hearing the brachot. So it's interesting how you can get credit by standing up, by answering Amen, by Yehesha Merabah. All these things are honoring God. All these things... Hashem wants. Who can make God happy? So a person should go and give honor through doing these things makes God happy. And try and find more ways to make God happy. That's amazing. How many people really think about, I want to make God happy today? How am I going to do it? What's the best way to make God happy? The truth is, you want to make God happy? Make your wife happy. For a man. A woman, make your husband happy. That's number one. Make your parents happy. That's very important. You want to make God happy? First start with people. When you show love for God's creatures, God loves you. Very simple. And when you speak Lashon Hara against God's children, God says, you don't speak bad about my children. I'm not going to talk to you. You know, the guy, he gets an invitation to the wedding. He says, you're invited, but don't bring your children. You know my picture? I'm not going to go myself. Same thing, Hashem says, you don't like my children, I don't like you. It's horrible. So we have to treat it like that. Make other people happy, and Hashem. What does Pirkei Avot say? Ezu mechobad hamechabed habriot. Who is honorable, the person who makes people honorable. So that's number one. Number two is to find ways of getting God to be happy by doing mitzvot in a beautiful way. Try and do mitzvot in a beautiful way. It's so hard. This is so hard today. We have to think, what can I do today to make Hashem happy? And a guy came to my father, Rabbi Shalom. He says, tell me, he says, God did so much to me for me. What can I do for Hashem? And people think, what can I do for Hashem? As a person, normal person says, I pray 3 times a day, I do this, I do that. But what can I do more than that? What can I give extra to Hashem? That's hard. That's a high level. How many people go to the rabbi and say, Rabbi, give me a bracha. I want to do something for Hashem. Give me a bracha that Hashem will love me. I want to be Hashem's beloved like Avraham Avinu. Who thinks in that way? Avraham Avinu is the only one who says, I want to be God's beloved. I want to do for God. That's hard. Look at Esther. Purim. What she did for Klal Yisrael. What can I do for Klal Yisrael? What can I do to further Jewish survival in the world? That's what we have to think. And what is Jewish survival for? Because only Jews say Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's the greatness of being a Jew. Just that line. Can you imagine? There's no one else who says Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. No one says Hashem is our God. We accept Him and He's one God. No one says that. Of course, you get the Muslims and they believe in something else. I don't know what they believe in. Violence, murder. So it's very important to think this. Try, what can I do to make God happy today? Okay. Now we come to love of God. And there are three parts to love of God. Number one, simcha. Do mitzvot with joy. That shows love. You're showing love by showing joy. So daddy says, getting a glass of water, and you say, sure, daddy, I'm so happy, I could do something for you. That's showing love. You do something with joy, it shows love. Number two, dveikut, clinging. You cling to someone, you show love. Leaving your parents is like, can't leave, what's it called? There's a syndrome, what's it called?
Empty nest syndrome.
Separation anxiety, beautiful. Separation anxiety. The guy can't leave his father, can't leave his mother. The daughter can't leave her mother, father, whatever. Separation anxiety. They're so attached, that shows love. When you're attached, it shows love. That's love. I'm attached to you, I can't leave you, I can't. I want to hold on to your hand. We had an old couple here. I don't know if you remember Jack Aziel, who remembers? Jack and Bailey. I remember them walking through Highland Park hand in hand when they were 80 years old, after 50 years of marriage. And the way they look at each other, oh gosh. Where do you find that today? Where do you find married couples after 50, 60 years literally in love with each other? Fall like they fell in love today. Like they would dote on each other. Yeah, it's a wild. And that's how we have to do it to Hashem. We have to show love of Hashem. Can't do it without Hashem. The truth is, only when a person's in trouble, they know they can't do it without Hashem. There's nothing else. A person's life, there's nothing else that can save them. Money can't save you. Health. The doctors can't save health. Only Hashem can save. But we never get to that situation. We always have to think, nothing can help me more than Hashem. There's nothing else. There's no other power in the world that can help me more than Hashem. I need Hashem so much. We all need Hashem so much. David HaMelech, read his daily. All he says all the time is, I need you. I need your help. I need you. 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 And then, when a person says, I need you, it doesn't just become, I need you, I can't do without you. I can't do without you in my life. That's really the highest level. That's the amazing gift of Shlomo HaMelech, who wrote Shir HaShirim, a love story, man and God. Imagine, look at all these stupid songs people sing and all these songs they write. There's not very few songs, if you think about it, in marriage. How many songs are written, I love my wife? How many songs? I don't know a single one. There's no market for it. Oh, yeah. Maybe in the 50s, maybe in the 40s, I don't know. But who'd write a book saying, I love God? A love story between man and God. It's got to be Meshuggah. That was Shlomo HaMelech, the greatness of Shlomo HaMelech. That was the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech. He knew, like his father, you can't do that, God. If you're the king of Israel, definitely you can't do that, God. If you're a leader of Israel, you have to know there's nothing else except God. Who's going to defend Israel against all these enemies around the world? It's like everyone's around against us. So that's love. Love is choshek, cheshek, chesek. Cheshek is desiring. Mitaveh, tava, desire. To be close to God. To run after His holiness. It's hard. It's so hard. Look at the attitude. Listen, we have to work on it. It's dinner time, and it's also mincha time. Which way is the guy going? Is he going to the table? Is he going to the shul? Is he going to the shul and he's saying, I gotta go, I wanna have food, but I gotta go. What can I do? Or is he saying, I can't wait to go to shul? That's really the issue over here. It's very good. That we have to get to that level of running. So a person says, you know what, I need to run, I need to go and do this very important thing. So that's the way it is. That's a higher level. That's a higher level. So how does a person go to shul? Is it like, I can't help it, I need to go? What does David HaMelech say? Ka'ayal tarog al afike maim. What's an ayal? Ayal is
a heart.
A deer. Like the deer goes and thirsts for water. The deer is wandering around, doesn't have any water. So he comes to the water, can't wait for the water, he's desiring the water. Ken nafshi tarog elecha elokim. So too my soul desires you, God. What a high level, what a great man, David HaMelech.
From B'nai Korach.
Okay.
It sounds like it should be David HaMelech.
It was David HaMelech. David HaMelech wrote Seyed Hili, whatever, he put it together. He edited it.
It sounds like
B'nai Korach was. Shmuel
HaNavi. Right, but I mean, that entire paragraph of Tehillim, if you took away the introductory, it suits David HaMelech.
Exactly, 100%, I agree with you.
I remember when I go to the...
I agree with you, 100%. Shmuel HaNavi was a descendant of Korach, yeah.
He was one of the... That's David HaMelech.
Right.
That's not B'nai Korach.
Okay. So anyway, so those this is the attitude. Okay, we're going to continue next week with... Lina Ava. Very, very high level.